Going to get some more insight now on all of today's big business stories. Real pleasure to be joined on the line by CNN's Emerging Markets Editor, John Defterios. John, good talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Richard, in St. Petersburg this week, yeah?
It's not easy being you, isn't it? We'll get on to the Russian economy in a second, but first of all, talk to me about the past 48 hours. We've had so much to digest, haven't we? We've had the Greek election, the French election. We've had, of course, the G20 meeting in Mexico, and that's without even thinking about what's happening here in the Middle East. But let's focus, first of all, on Europe and the Greek situation and the wider Eurozone situation. How are you reading this 48 hours later?
Well, it seems now that in the last hour we've got a government, a coalition government of three parties to move forward in Greece with Mr. Samaras of New Democracy, Mr. Venizelos of PASOK, and Mr. Kouvelis of the Democratic Left. And all these names probably don't mean too much to everyone, but 48 hours ago they were kind of at each other's throats and kind of suggesting that this sort of government wouldn't work, and they wanted to have a broader coalition that included the young opposition leader from Syriza. But they put those things aside. And this represents the older guard of Greece, if you will, those that have been in power for a long time. But he lost a lot of support, Richard, in the last 18 months due to the crisis and the wrangling that they had over the budget. So that's a net positive in Greece going forward. They still have to appoint cabinet ministers and to see how fast they can move to try to ease the pain in Greece in terms of how much cooperation they'll get from Brussels. But at the same time, what has happened also from the G20 summit, there's a lot of pressure applied on Europe here to come up with a pan-European insurance regulatory system for the banking system. And also, and this has been Germany is still resisting heavily, is to try to go to a pan-European bond structure. So Greece is not paying 26% on the 10-year and Spain not close to 7%, but to enjoy the fruits of the bond rates that Germany is enjoying now. So you'll find an equilibrium, but we're far away from that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the summit next week, the EU summit on the 28th, which we'll see how far they can move along between now and then on some of the things that I raised.
John, you were in Greece for the elections. Talk to us about the human cost of this financial and economic crisis. What did you see? What did you feel? What did you hear?
Yeah, it's phenomenal because I was there, you know, 5-6 months ago, and then again in September of last year. And you know, they're going through different phases, almost like it's a death, Richard. I mean, that last autumn, they were fighting with each other, you know, pointing the finger at each other, members of society, saying, you know, there's too much of a union presence, and the state is too big, the public sector is too large, and, you know, the white-collar wealthy ship owners and bankers and traders don't pay their fair share of taxes. That's moved out of the language, and now they've all kind of hit rock bottom together, to be candid. And as one said, you know, you from the media call this a recession, a five-year recession, and it is a depression. Let's just call it what it is. We've lost more than 20% of our economy, and that's a classic definition of 15 to 20% of an economy is a depression, and that's what it does feel like there. Now, it also felt like on the ground that they were incredibly close to falling off the cliff and taking a hard left turn to go with Syriza and maybe abandon the currency. And I think they stepped to the cliff, Richard, and you could feel it, and they thought, wow, this is not something we want. So it's a very polarized society still. If you look at the poll results and go underneath the numbers, better than 50% of the elderly, those over 50 years old, 60% in fact, voted for Mr. Samaras of New Democracy and a combination of PASOK. 45 to 50% of the youth voted for Syriza. So you have a completely divided population, which is not a good thing to govern. So it means that this new coalition puts forward things that the youth don't think that serves their interests. You could see riots again. This is what people were telling me on the ground, is that you have to watch very carefully how Syriza goes into opposition, because they're a young party. They only had 4% of the vote in 2009, and skyrocketed now to 27, 28%. So watch the space closely. That's what we have to see in terms of the challenges of governing going forward.
John, in many ways, Greece, as we go forward, looks and feels like an emerging market. You're the emerging markets editor at CNN. You've been covering these economies for years, decades now. Is there anything Greece could almost learn from some of the, if you like, the Asian success stories of the past 20, 30, 40 years, the Taiwans, the Singapores, as it looks to rebuild its economy? It seems almost insane that Greece, the cradle of civilization, isn't in the 21st century an emerging economy. But maybe these are the models it has to look at, not Germany or America.
It's a phenomenal point. I mean, I'm surprised you brought it up because this is the same conversation we had down in Greece. I was talking to a lot of different industrialists who said, you know, let's look to what did Singapore do? Some of the comments that were made here. What have some of the other Asian markets have done? He said, they said, in fact, you know, look what Dubai's done with their trade facilities. And we've had this discussion down there, you know, at dinners and at lunches and in between our live shots with different business leaders who came on to do interviews. And they were saying, you know, why don't we do this? And this is where the frustration is with the business community is that, and they said they hit walls time and time again because the politicians there are not business people. They don't go back and forth like we would see in the UAE or often wear two hats. You know, they're from business trading family in the UAE and also carry ministerial posts. Most of us in politics, Richard, there have been in politics all their life, but they don't have an appreciation for the job creation that business really does generate. And that needs to change. So we had these discussions on the sidelines about creating a trade port that can rival others in the region to at least be the hub for the Mediterranean, restructuring the financial services sector to welcome foreign direct investment, make it easy for people to buy and sell companies going forward, reducing the size of the state. One out of four workers works for the state in Greece. It's a very small population. It's just ridiculous that it's that high. It's the belief in the business community. So you're absolutely right. They're talking about let's introduce transparency. Half their budget deficit could be covered by just collecting taxes better. So they need to almost start from scratch, and they realize it. And sometimes when you need a crisis in the family to kind of rebuild, and I think that's where they are right now.
Finally, let's talk about Russia, where you are now. You're in St. Petersburg. It's the International Economic Forum there. Vladimir Putin is going to be talking, isn't he, this week at the Economic Forum. What are you expecting him to say?
Well, yeah, I think this is a very important speech because, you know, on June 12th, he's introduced a new legislation to, you know, crack down on protests and increase the fines. There's a middle class here that's defying what he's saying and hitting the streets anyway when they feel like it's necessary. So he has an educated and young and fairly wealthy middle class, because the GDP has doubled in 10 years' time here. They want to see more. They don't want to be overly dependent on a single horse, that being oil and gas. They would like to see better infrastructure. And in fact, Richard, when you're driving around St. Petersburg, a phenomenal city, the history of Peter the Great building such a phenomenal trade facility, a hub for export into Europe from here in Eastern Europe. It's not functioning like that anymore. And I think this is where the frustration comes. I did the interview with Russian Railways today and the infrastructure of a rail system. Get this, Richard. A million people on their books and a billion passengers a year carried. How do you like that? But he said trying to restructure it's a challenge because they have, you know, 25 different divisions, you know, handling transport, freight, passengers. And this is the challenge of Russia. It's a huge place. Trying to turn this Titanic around is not easy. But he's got a restless population. It'll be interesting to see how he conveys this to the business community, offering the Sochi Games next year, you know, for the Winter Games, Olympics, 2018 World Cup. There's a lot of opportunity on the infrastructure side. And a lot of Middle Eastern players that are here from the UAE, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, looking to invest in their in some of their institutional direct investment funds for the government as well, the sovereign funds.
Well, John, I'm sure that early evening in St. Petersburg in June is a fine place to be sitting out in a pavement cafe rather than talking to me and Tim on the telephone in Dubai. So I'm going to let you go, but it's great talking to you.
Yeah, we still have to do our show. Huh? You take care.
There's always that. Enjoy. Cheers, John. Bye-bye.